Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the 25th chapter of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning with the first verse. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know, neither the day nor the hour." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. In 1884, there was a destructive epidemic of cholera in the city of Naples. In response to the outbreak, the citizens threw the physicians out of the city. Although this doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, it does make some sense. You see, Naples was a very dirty city. And since the physicians knew that cholera was raging all around, they foretold the coming of cholera if the citizens of the city did not clean up. Well, eventually cholera came as foretold, and the citizens assumed that the physicians had brought the cholera in order to frighten them into being clean. As a result, citizens threw out the physicians. In the same way, men in these last days don't like to hear about final judgment. Preachers who preach about hellfire are described as crackpots. Their critics think that they invented hellfire and kept it burning to enforce their teachings. But in truth, preachers can only repeat what the master has taught them to preach. Punishment is bound to follow sin, just as disease is bound to follow filth. Mocking preachers will not stop the swift retribution on the day of the Lord. On this, the very last week of the church year, let us then ponder on this theme. Always be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Yet how can we be prepared for the coming of the Lord? Our text states, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom." The imagery employed here is that of a grand Jewish wedding. Now their customs are really quite different than our own. For the bride and the groom would stay apart for some time after the formal wedding feast. Then on the appointed day, the groom, along with his friends, would march in a festive procession to the home of the bride. When they neared the home of the bride, her young virgin companions would rush out to meet him with lamps lit in order to escort him to the home of the bride. Then the whole group would return singing and dancing, and there would be feasting for days on end. The meaning of this parable is this. Jesus is the bridegroom who has come down from heaven in order to receive his bride, the church. Then he takes her back to eternal glory, to the wedding feast of heaven. His coming is the end of days, the time of which no man knows. The 10 virgins are the sum total of those who profess to be Christians. But notice there are hypocrites amongst them. In our parable, we are told some very important things about these virgins. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. The lamps and the oil were intended to illuminate the path for the bridegroom. Yet the foolish, unprepared virgins were not prepared to meet the coming Lord. For they had allowed their faiths to burn out by not making regular use of the oil of word and sacraments. My dear friends, here I give you some of my most earnest warnings. We are living in very difficult times. This world is attacking our faith through television, through social media, through social engineering, through all different mechanisms to destroy our faith. And Satan himself is eagerly waiting to take us down to hell in order to devour us. If we think our faith is going to survive without regularly nourishing it through the oil of word and sacraments, we are kidding ourselves, just like these foolish virgins. A Protestant minister once asked a young GI to address his congregation. The veteran was reluctant, but agreed if the congregation would sing the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. This is what he said. We just sang Onward Christian Soldiers, and we all profess to be soldiers of Christ. Now that may have passed muster on one day in the past at least. But the fact of the matter is that about 10 million men now know what it's like to be a soldier. It ain't anything like this. Suppose the army accepted the same lame excuses that we give for not attending divine service, Bible class. Just imagine once for a moment what roll call would be like. The sergeant would bark out roll call, counting up 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Where's number 4? Where's Private Smith? In response, a friend says, oh, he's too sleepy to get up this morning. He was out really late last night, and you know he needs a sleep. But rest assured, he be with you in spirit. That's fine, says the sergeant. Carry on. Where's Schmidt? Oh, he's out hunting, said another. He's been here every day since fishing season ended, and you know he needs his recreation. Hope he gets his deer, says the sergeant. Carry on. Honestly, could this really happen in the army? If a GI tried to pull this stuff, he would spend 20 days in the stockade. And yet we who boldly confess in our hymns that we are soldiers of Christ still offer up these sad excuses with a straight face. This young GI wanted to impress upon his home congregation that we can't be soldiers of the cross if we aren't fueling our faith with the oil of word and sacraments. For if that faith is not regularly stoked, this world will snuff it out. And yet how often don't we think we can weather this war-torn existence with nothing but a flickering faith? In truth, faith is never static. It is always growing or it is diminishing. If we are not keeping it alive, then we are just like these foolish virgins who let their faith and let their lamps burn out. Now, let us prepare ourselves, for we do not know the coming of the Savior. Just like these foolish virgins quickly learned that they could not borrow oil, so too we learn quite quickly that we cannot borrow the faith of others. For if our faith is burned out at the last judgment, we won't be able to rely on the faith of our parents or friends, for no one can believe for another. If the foolish virgins knew the hour of the bridegroom's arrival, they would most certainly have been prepared. In the same way, there would be a whole host of last-minute conversions if we just knew the day or the hour in which our Lord would return. And yet such faith is no faith at all, but a contrived faith. In contrast, Martin Luther once said that he would plant an apple tree on the last day if he knew when that last day was going to come. For the authentic Christian shouldn't have to live the last day any different than another, for he should live every day prepared to meet the Lord. These foolish virgins were not allowed into the wedding feast. Likewise, and sad to say, those who allow their faith to burn out will not be allowed to enter into the wedding feast above, but rather will be cast out into outer darkness, where there is nothing more than weeping and gnashing of teeth. And what will be the most terrible thing of all for them is that they will know that they once had faith, and they allowed that faith to burn out. But brothers and sisters, for those who remain in the faith, the last day is not a terrible day. It is a wonderful day filled with ineffable or unspeakable joys. For those that kept that faith burning will bask in the splendor of the thrice holy God. And he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, St. John declares. In fact, St. John goes on, he says, and there will be no crying, nor mourning, nor pain anymore, for the former things will pass away. You ever wonder why the Bible says such little about heaven? The reason is because every human word would only cheapen how wonderful and how glorious it is. For human words can't begin to describe the wonder and the magnificence of heaven. This is why St. Paul can boldly say, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glories that will be revealed in us. Now is the time of preparation, for the last day or the final day can come at any moment. Are our faith but a flicker because we have put this world and ourselves before our God? May it never be said of any one of us. Rather, may we cling to the precious promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and know by faith alone that we will rest one day in the arms of the Almighty, in the wedding feast above. Watch and pray, therefore, for we do not know the day or the hour. Amen."